Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's show. I'm your host, Zach Drew.
And I'm Andrew Bellers.
I'll tell you, there really is a serious, serious threat that China will be invading Taiwan by 2025, maybe even sooner. There is a day that China will be doing this. In the same way, Vladimir Putin is not ever going to end this war if he does not receive land in Ukraine. That is what they feel. They're putting all their marbles. It's a matter of legacy for him. He is never going to give up. And so that is another war on the horizon. But in the same way Vladimir Putin views Ukraine, in many ways the Chinese view Taiwan, it is inevitable that there will be a day that that is what's going to take place. And now the experts are warning by 2025, and maybe even sooner. Air Force General predicts war with China in 2025, tells officers to prep. Another article, red alert, Chinese state TV shows chilling Taiwan invasion blitz. And here's the thing. If this took place, you know, for example, well, what we're doing with China in this proxy war with Ukraine, it does affect us, right? We have felt some of the effects, even with, well, I'm not going to go into that list because that's not what this particular show is about, but we have felt some minor effects here in America, which would radically, radically, radically pale in comparison to if China invaded Taiwan. It would propel all of us as Americans into a war that the vast, overwhelming majority of us are absolutely unprepared for. And I'm going to be explaining to you what our lives would look like if and when this takes place. So, like, now here's a question you got to ask yourself. Well, first of all, I got to let you know, I don't know if it's 2025. That is what I feel. And from all of the studying and research that I've done, that is what many other people feel as well. And those articles I just read are just one in two of 1,000. But I think to myself, well, could it possibly be a little bit earlier? Maybe in 2024? I don't have access to the brains of the Chinese leadership, but do you think China will wait until a strong administration returns to the White House? The next presidential inauguration is January 20th of 2025. Do you think they'll wait? I don't know. If a thief saw a pair of size 14 steel-toed work boots on the front porch with a "Don't Tread on Me" flag across the door, do you think he would say, "Yeah, this is the house right now. This is the house I want to break into"? No, absolutely not. Well, you know, what if he kind of walked up to the house in the nighttime and peeked into the window and saw an old sleepy man, very sleepy, moving across that living room floor at the pace of about a computer with about 60 tabs open, while simultaneously mumbling to himself, "Well, you know the thing, right?" And who would you attack? Come on. Come on, people. War is on the horizon. We're going to be breaking all of this down to you on today's program. Before I do that, I want to encourage you to go to our website at www.zachdrewshow.com and click that bright orange donate button. We need your help. Everybody across America is feeling a little tight. And so 501c3s who rely on donations are feeling tight. So please give a generous donation. ZachDrewShow.com, bright orange donate button. You can donate there through either Tithely or PayPal and consider becoming a monthly recurring partner. You can also write to us at IGBY, Zach Drew Show, at P.O. Box 797, Decatur, Illinois, 62525. And don't forget that if you go to the website and click on store, you can be a part of our Paul Revere Club, and you will receive totally exclusive content from us at the ministry every single month at the first of the month, exclusively through your email, for a donation of $30. People are really enjoying that content that we're sending out, so please become a partner. With that being said, let us dive into today's content. So it was in, if we can go back to 1949, shortly after the end of World War II, China was not a superpower, right? It was not a prosperous nation. It was totally undeveloped with very few paved roads. It was even the literacy rate that was less than 9%. It was one of the poorest countries on earth, with only 10 countries having a lower per capita GDP. It had just come out of a revolutionary war from which arose the Communist People's Republic of China under Chairman Mao Zedong. Because of this, Washington cut ties completely with China, as did much of the world, leaving it to languish in squalor. In other words, it was a dump. It was a threat to who? To no one. Excuse me. So fast forward to 2023. What in the world happened? How has China risen from one of the poorest countries in the world to one of the richest? It has grown so much that it now contends for the world's largest superpower, right? With the drive and capabilities to literally wage war against the United States of America. How can such a thing happen? Do you want to know who is to blame? It's us. Do you want to know who is to blame? It's America. America is the one culprit to blame for the emergence of China on the world stage. America, and I'll say its influence over the World Trade Organization, which, you know, that is the WTO. You see, the trade between China and the U.S. exploded over the last two decades, and it comes as a result of China joining the World Trade Organization, which they joined in 2001. I think it's important. It's a really interesting article. I think every paragraph has something important to say. I don't usually like reading, you know, five paragraphs all at one time, but it's important. So here's a little history from the Council on Foreign Relations official website on the subject. So what is the history of the U.S.-China trade relationship? For 30 years following the establishment of the People's Republic of China in 1949, there was virtually no trade between the two countries, as Washington had severed ties with the communist government in Beijing. In 1979, the United States and China normalized relations, prompting an explosion of trade over the next four decades, from a few billion dollars worth to hundreds of billions of dollars annually. China also began a decades-long process of economic reform in the 1970s under the leadership of Deng Xiaoping. His government loosened state control over the economy and allowed private industry to develop. Chinese policymakers aimed to boost trade and investment, and in 1986, Beijing applied to rejoin the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, which is the WTO's predecessor. Now, after protracted negotiations with the United States and other WTO members, China joined the WTO in December of 2001. As a condition of admission, Beijing committed to a sweeping set of economic reforms, including steep tariff cuts for imported goods, protections for intellectual properties, and transparency around its laws and regulations. Now, at the time, U.S. President Bill Clinton and his advisors contended that bringing China into the global trading system would not only benefit the United States, but also foster economic and ultimately democratic reform in China. Real win.
Yeah, so much for that.
Yeah. Still, the move was opposed by U.S. labor unions and many congressional Democrats, you know, the real Democrats of elder years, older
That's right.
years, right?
Yeah.
Not the socialist Marxist Democrats of today. Your granddad's Democratic Party, which I would have still been a Republican, but still I understand them more back then, who argued that China's weak worker and environmental protections would incentivize similar practices elsewhere and bring about a race to the bottom. Wow. So even before China joined the WTO, trade between the two countries had been growing at an incremental rate, right, since 79, but it was in 2001 that everything changed. But right. WTO membership ensured permanent normal trade relations, thereby providing U.S. and foreign companies additional certainty that they could produce in China and export to the United States. Trade surged. How much? Well, here we go. The value of U.S. goods imports from China rose from $100 billion in 2001 to $500 billion in 2021. And that number was over $600 billion, close to $600 billion last year. This leap in imports is due in part to China's critical position in global supply chains, Chinese factories. Oh, here we go. Chinese factories assemble products for export to the United States using components from all over the world. So we have taken it from America, utilized the Chinese factories that were built and made for our products so that they can now ship us to the United States and all over the world. Oh gosh, well, for such a drastic thing, the benefits have to outweigh the cons, right?
You would think.
Yeah. So what are the benefits of this trade? Well, U.S. consumers have benefited from lower prices, and U.S. companies have profited immensely from access to China's market. Whoa! Whoa! You mean major U.S. companies with the power and the influence and the capital to lobby for this to be done profited greatly at selling our independence down the river to China? Never. And all given legs under Democratic President Bill Clinton? Wow. I want to show you something. Let's take a look at this graph that shows China's GDP, and it goes all the way back to the early 1960s. You're going to see an interesting curve in this graph. Let's take a look. There's the graph. You can see it on your screen. We typed in, you have the 10-year option, 25, 50-year, and the max. We clicked there, the max, and the very first date given is 1963. You can see that China's GDP from 1963 all the way to 1976, pretty flat. 76 to 1989, pretty flat. Now the next number is 2002. You can see, oh, there's a little bit of an increase there. What's going on? And, well, you know, China did rejoin the WTO in 2001. And what happened? Look at that. In an absolute explosion of growth. We created this monster, people. We did. The reason China is a threat is because of America. Listen, people. That snake was dying, but it was nourished back to health and is now preparing to bite us.
The snake lyric. On her way to work one morning, down the path along the lake, a tender-hearted woman saw a poor, half-frozen snake. Interesting. His pretty colored skin had been all frosted with the dew. Oh, well, she cried, I'll take you in, and I'll take care of you. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman. Sighed the vicious snake. She wrapped him up cozy in a curvature of silk and then laid him by the fireside with some honey and some milk. Now she hurried home from work, and that night, as soon as she arrived, she found that pretty snake she'd taken and revived. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. Now she clutched him to her bosom. You're so beautiful, she cried. But if I hadn't brought you in, by now, you might have died. She stroked his pretty skin, and then she kissed and held him tight. But instead of saying thank you, that snake gave her a vicious bite. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. I saved you, cried the woman, and you've bit me. Heavens, why? You know your bite is poisonous, and now I'm going to die. Oh, shut up, silly woman, said the reptile with a grin. You knew damn well I was a snake before you took me in. Does that make sense to anybody?
Well, let us continue. What else is going on that would propel us into a war with China? And what are the, what is China doing to say, hey, look at me, I might be preparing for war. Here we go. China is selling off treasuries as it prepares for a blockade of Taiwan and a war with the United States. Right now, U.S. officials in Washington are deeply concerned that the Chinese may impose a full-blown blockade on Taiwan as the first step in a reunification campaign. If China chooses to blockade Taiwan, the U.S. and China would instantly be in a state of war. All of a sudden, the flow of high-end computer chips, this is one point,
yeah,
from Taiwan, would be completely stopped. And by the way, more than 60% of all high-end chips needed for computers come from Taiwan.
Yeah, it's the largest manufacturer of those chips.
You know, I'm reminded of like Cuba, you know, driving around all of those beautifully old restored cars because they can't get any new cars.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to do that with a 2023 computer in 2055.
I don't know.
Right? All of a sudden, the flow of products that we import from China would be completely stopped. That's huge.
Yeah.
In other words, our standard of living would be radically altered for the foreseeable future. Don't forget that Chinese President Xi Jinping announced in November of 2022 that China will focus on preparing for war, with the country's security increasingly unstable and uncertain. Preparing for war. Preparing for war. China is preparing for war. Who the heck is going to wage war against China? No one. The singular reason China would be preparing for war would be to invade Taiwan. And if that happens, you can kiss away nearly 100% of all your goods. Why? Because they are made in China. And the moment China invades Taiwan, the U.S. will be at war with China, immediately ceasing the trade between our two countries. So how badly would that harm us? How badly? You know, it's interesting that the irony of the average American, as we scream things like sovereignty, right? America, independence. Independence, while simultaneously being totally dependent upon one of the most evil countries in the world. We say, independence, independence. We're not independent. We are dependent on an evil, wicked serpent called China. Not only does China supply a tremendous amount of our consumer goods, our commercial goods, and medical supplies, and pharmaceuticals, and truly vital raw materials, it also controls a huge share of the world shipping fleet and commercial shipbuilding capabilities. Unbelievable. Well, you might be saying, let's build it in America. I'm with you. I wish we would have. I wish we wouldn't have sold our factories down the river without a paddle to China. And for those of you that say, well, you know, let's build it in America. We'll bring it back and build it in America. We don't have the infrastructure for it. Maybe we could. I don't know how long it would take. I don't know. Maybe a year, maybe 3 years. Also, it would be way more expensive. Way more expensive. You'd be paying for that as well. Now, what would be more expensive? Every single one of our products. Why? How would they be more expensive, Zach? Well, you know what? Because we aren't okay with child labor, with sweatshops. Well, you know, as long as it's not here,
yeah,
right? It's so backwards, it's messed up. Now, well, you know, Zach, could China afford to do that? Wouldn't it hurt them? Yeah, it would hurt them. You know, that would affect their GDP. They do rely on us for some of their GDP at about 14.9%. We rely on them for almost all of our goods. Do you think if China wanted to absolutely cripple the world's number one superpower, that they could afford to take a cut of 15% of their GDP, bringing it down from 100, you know, to 85%. Yeah. Yeah, I think they could. Could we survive? No. No, we couldn't. So where's China's current timeline? Let's get back to the article. There are certain things that are likely to happen before China pulls the trigger on a military solution. In recent months, China has been making moves to reduce economic exposure to the United States, and one of those moves has been to sell off U.S. treasuries. In fact, January was the sixth month in a row in which Chinese holdings of U.S. treasuries fell. China continued to cut its holdings of U.S. treasuries at the beginning of the year amid rising long-term interest rates, which slashed its returns on its overseas investments after the U.S. Federal Reserve accelerated its lending cost increases last year. As foreign holdings rose for a third straight month in January, China's holdings slid to $859.4 billion in January from $867 billion in December, declining for the sixth straight month and marking their lowest point since May of 2009. According to data released by the U.S. Department of Treasury on, it was last Wednesday. The good news is that the Chinese have been selling off their holdings at a measured pace. If a blockade or an invasion was imminent, I would expect the Chinese to start selling off treasuries much more rapidly. We will keep watching to see if the pace changes. But Andrew, you have an article from the Air Force.
Yes.
Now, was this, you know, talking about how he was predicting war? Was this like some Fox and Friends interview? I mean, what was this?
This is what I thought was so interesting about this. So it says Air Force General predicts war with China in 2025. And it says a four-star Air Force general sent a memo on Friday to the officers he commands that predicts the U.S. will be at war with China in 2 years. So, yeah, that's what I thought was so interesting. It's not like he was in an interview setting and they're like, well, you know, what are your projections on, you know, the China-Taiwan tensions? And he's like, well, you know, I think we might be looking at war. No, he sent a memo to his officers that he commands. And this is what he said. He says, I hope I'm wrong, but my gut tells me we will fight in 2025. Said in the memo that because both Taiwan and the U.S. will have presidential elections in 2024, like we mentioned on the show, the U.S. will be distracted and Chinese President Xi Jinping will have an opportunity to move on Taiwan. In March, he directs, this is the general, he directs all AMC personnel to, quote, consider their personal affairs and whether a visit should be scheduled with their servicing-based legal office to ensure they are legally ready and prepared. So this general is telling his own men, get your affairs in order. You know, make sure you have a will signed and written up and everything, because there's a good chance we're going to war.
Are your affairs in order? Have you made the proper steps to secure your own home, your own household, your own family? You need to make those steps now, if you haven't already. In Matthew 24, when Jesus said, whenever his disciples came to Jesus, said, tell us the signs. What's the world going to be like before you return? And in Matthew 24, verse 6, you will hear of wars. There will be wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. Read through Matthew 24. Read over a few times. Figure out what are those things. I think we need to end the show by skipping to the good part. In Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31, we're at the end of those days. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, Jesus. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But he will send his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. We're in this world right now, and we're in serious times. But don't ever lose sight that in the Word of God in James, it refers to this life as a vapor, as a mist. We're here for a little while and we're gone. Stay focused on Jesus. Like a race. Run as hard as you can to cross that finish line. Don't weary in doing good. Run and persevere, for eternity in heaven with Jesus is our reward. Don't ever lose sight of that. Hey, I love you guys. Get into your word. Read your word. Get into it on a daily basis. Feed that spirit man. We'll see you next week.